Our coverage of You Decide 2024 is presented by Big Fish Roofing. They're the roofers you can trust. Big Fish Roofing.
Tonight is a night of hope. A celebration of what America once was, and with God's grace, what it will soon be again.
Welcome to the national stage. J.D. Vance with a roaring welcome as he accepts the Republican nomination for vice president. And all of these conventions have that slow and steady buildup to the big event, which is tonight when the nominee is on stage and addresses delegates. Jared Halpern is our guy in Milwaukee with continuing team coverage. Back again tonight, starting at 7 o'clock here and across the country. Jared, could you sense the energy building ahead of Vance's national debut?
I mean, it was a warm welcome, and it was notable because so much of what he did was try to tie his personal narrative, trying to introduce himself to Americans with the policies that he says are responsible for his upbringing, right? He talked about the hollowing out of towns like his in Ohio. He talked about his mother's addictions. He talked about enlisting to go to the Iraq War, all decisions he said that he disagreed with. And in fact, it's notable because he tied all of those to the time in office of President Biden, who was a senator for those decisions. But, you know, Republicans were president for a lot of those decisions, too. And it's notable because it really does speak to the shift, to the transition of the Republican Party, kind of the full takeover here, the full transition of the Trump wing of the Republican Party. That's what J.D. Vance represents. It was a lot of the narrative that he told yesterday. It was emotional when he talked about his mother. She was there in the box sitting next to Speaker Johnson. She is about to mark 10 years of sobriety. It was emotional, and it was a story that probably resonates with an awful lot of Americans, regardless of their party affiliation.
You know, he leans into that on a national stage, and it seems as though that's being encouraged. Does he, and how might he explain some of what he has said in the past about Trump, his running mate, and how is the campaign, and how are Republicans embracing that or at least accepting that?
Well, he has talked about how he was wrong, right? He's talked about how he didn't like kind of the image of Trump, but once he got to know him and got to know the policies, he got to know he is really close, for instance, with Don Jr., that all of that kind of transitioned. And so he talks about that in kind of a way that I think the campaign wants people to talk about. So much of this convention has been, has featured former Democrats, current Democrats, people who did not vote for Trump that now say that they will. They're trying to reach that part of the electorate, right? And so I think having a running mate who was like, listen, I was wrong about Trump, and maybe you were too, is something that the campaign is really embracing, leaning into. And Trump, we know, also kind of likes the people that have come into the fold, right? People who were wrong about him, in his view. You saw that with the invitation of Nikki Haley earlier this week.
Yeah, I heard someone saying at some point in all the content this week that I've been watching and listening to, the loyalty that starts early and then is diminished because of actions he dislikes, but what he likes is someone maybe who is a detractor on the outside and then becomes a loyal follower eventually over time. And it almost feels as though that's the J.D. Vance story that it will be told maybe on the campaign trail.
There's been a lot written about how this election could be decided by what pollsters are calling the double haters, right? It is those Americans who do not like either choice in front of them. They don't like President Biden. They don't really like former President Trump. They are looking for a reason to vote for one or the other. So much of, you know, when you see J.D. Vance talk about the mistakes of the George W. Bush administration, when you hear Nikki Haley talk about her concerns with Biden, when you hear the Teamsters president come out on this convention stage, those are all geared to that demographic, to those folks who, listen, may be still on the fence about Donald Trump and are looking for a reason to vote for him. That, by the way, is why this speech tonight, I can't think of a more anticipated address by a Republican or Democratic nominee for president. We have not heard from former President Trump since the attempt on his life less than a week ago. He will take the stage tonight. I anticipate that bandage still on his ear, less than a week from narrowly escaping an assassin's bullet. We are told that his speech was entirely rewritten since the weekend. He wants to deliver a much more unifying message. We have heard from members of his family and members of his staff who have really tried to personalize, to humanize him, to soften him. You know, we heard from his granddaughter last night. I am curious to see if that is a thread that is followed with the major speech that will be the capstone to this convention this evening.
Can he turn people around who are not Trump supporters? I mean, he's got that room. He's got them wrapped around his finger, as the proverbial line will go. But can he bring others along, given what has occurred and given, you know, maybe a chance of reflection when you're within an inch or less, perhaps, of your life?
It's a great question. We talked about that last night a little bit on air. I don't think the word unifying is a word that a lot of people use to describe Trump. And there's been a lot of, you know, a lot of commentary that, you know, somebody like Donald Trump can't really change. Same can be said for President Biden, but a near-death experience will change anybody. I am, to your point, very curious to see how that plays out tonight. Again, I can't think of a more anticipated acceptance of a major party's nomination than the one we will watch tonight.
Is anyone there talking about that phone call with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that was evidently leaked online and all that?
Not really. I mean, it's clear that the Trump wing would love that endorsement. I think that the Trump campaign does feel a tinge of threat by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He seems to speak to some of the same concerns that some Trump supporters have. And so it wouldn't be unusual for them to kind of reach out. You know, you've seen the Biden campaign take a different approach. They have kind of linked him to Trump. They don't really want their voters moving in that direction either. So it's notable, again, because we're not talking about a huge number of supporters for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., but when you look at states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, you know, these were states that were decided the last two elections by, you know, 10,000, 20,000 votes. It may not take a lot of votes here to decide this election.
All right, so it comes down to tonight. We'll obviously be listening into coverage, and I think one of the big takeaways that I've seen, in addition to all the crazy hats that people choose to wear on convention floors, is the bandages on the ears. They seem to be embracing that, huh?
It is a sign of solidarity. And again, there was a big question as we were coming into this convention on Monday night, and really as I arrived here on Sunday, with how do we kind of approach this shooting? That we had this near assassination. Is that going to cast a pall over these events? We had seen statements from Trump and his team that they did not want that to be the case. I think initially delegates also were kind of walking softly. What do we do? You have seen this kind of organic movement of people in solidarity wearing bandages on their ear. And again, I think it's an indication that it is okay to talk about it. It is okay to have these moments of solidarity, but they don't want it to kind of override the message that they're trying to deliver this week. I have thought that it was a very interesting way to kind of handle this, to show solidarity without kind of directly talking about the shooting in every single speech, in every single kind of slogan or anything else.
Yeah. We're going to be listening into coverage. It's been great because those of us who have like evening plans or like a board meeting or something like that, you want to be able to be dialed into coverage and you're not in front of the TV. So it's been great to have the radio play-by-play. Great work this week, Jared. Thanks.
Appreciate it. Thank
you. All right, brother. It's 9:21 and coverage continues again tonight with the Trump speech and all the other stuff leading up to it. Jared Halpern, Jessica Rosenthal and team will be by starting at 7 all the way through midnight.